Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping our listeners hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and today we continue in our teaching series called The Great I Am. No live phone calls today, but the voicemail system is always open and ready for you at 844-322-2742. So if you need answers for the challenges of everyday living, or if there's a Bible passage you don't quite understand, well, leave us a voicemail. We always love hearing from you, so never hesitate to call. Again, the number is 844-322-2742. But for right now, it's The Resurrection and the Life, Lesson 7 of The Great I Am on Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Today we really get into the heart and soul of Christianity. Resurrection is the linchpin. It's the hinge on which all of Christianity turns. Without the resurrection, we're just still in our sins, yes. And faith is futile, and Christianity is meaningless. But here in this particular passage, John chapter 11, we're going to see Jesus make the claim that he is the resurrection and the life. Mm-hmm. You know, in his ministry, he taught a lot of truths through parables, through stories. And then after he asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He made a change. He started speaking directly to the disciples and telling them that he was going to go to Jerusalem, that he was going to be handed over, that he was going to be crucified, buried, but on the third day he was going to be raised back to life. And they didn't really understand that. And as far as they were concerned, they struggled with the fact that he was going to die, that he was going to suffer, that he was going to be crucified. They really couldn't get past that to see the hope in Jesus' statement that he was going to be raised on the third day. So resurrection was a mystery. Mm-hmm. It just didn't register in their minds. And it didn't register until after the fact that he was raised from the dead, sure. And they actually saw him. Well, here's some more of that type of confusion in this story. Jesus makes the claim, and here's what he said. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asked the question, do you believe this? So this is the fifth of the I am statements that Jesus made. I am, he is claiming the same name as God the Father, the same name that God the Father claimed for himself or said, this is my name to Moses in the book of Exodus. Jesus is using that for himself. And then he gives some substance to it. What does that mean? Well, here it means that he's the resurrection and the life. And through belief in him, you're going to have everlasting life. And even though you die, even though your body dies, you're still going to live. And your body is going to come back to life at some point. That is the good news. Yep. That is what this claim is all about, that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the story. Here's the setup for this particular statement. Now, it starts in chapter 11, verse 1, and here's the story. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So Bethany was a little town just east of Jerusalem near the Mount of Olives. Mm-hmm. And whenever Jesus came to Jerusalem, he always spent the night in Bethany. He always made his way over to this little town, this little village, and probably spent most nights at the home of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Now, Lazarus was ill. Now it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent to him, sent to Jesus, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. And I love that phrase, he whom you love. They knew of Jesus' affection toward Lazarus. Right. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So here's the setup. Lazarus is ill. Mary and Martha want Jesus to come and do for Lazarus what he has done for so many others. He has healed people just with his touch, just with his word. So he wants, they want Jesus to come and do the same for Lazarus. But Jesus says, no, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So what does that word glorified mean? What is that all about, that God is going to receive glory through this, that the Son of God is going to be glorified through this? Well, the word glorified, one of the definitions, is simply to render conspicuous Jesus's divine character and attributes. So we know something about Jesus and what was happening at this time, where that people were recognizing him as the Messiah, as the Son of God, but they weren't sure exactly what that meant. They weren't sure all the attributes, all the divine characteristics that went along with the fact that he was the Son of God, the Messiah. So here in this particular story, some of those divine attributes, those divine characters, were going to be revealed. And what was going to be revealed is that he is the resurrection and the life, that he has power over death. That's the good news.
Yes.
Now, that gets to the heart and soul of Christianity. Christianity is not a self-improvement program. There are a lot of self-improvement programs out there on the market today. They're some of the best-selling courses and programs on the internet. Why? Everybody wants to be better at who they are. They want a better version of themselves. Well, Christianity does not offer a better version of yourself. It offers something brand new. So Christianity isn't a self-improvement program. It is taking people who are dead in sin and making them alive together with Christ Jesus. And there's only one way for that to happen, and that is through resurrection.
Yes.
That's why resurrection is the heart and soul of Christianity.
The Resurrection and the Life. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and you're listening to Lesson 7 on our Friday study series called The Great I Am. And friends, here at Basic Gospel, we know that there are countless issues that our listeners deal with every day. It could be issues like, will Jesus ever say, depart from me, I never knew you? Or can you be a Christian and not go to church? Well, those are just a couple of the issues that Bob addresses in the videos posted on our YouTube channel, basicgospel.net/YouTube. We hope you'll take advantage of these teaching tools, friends, and be sure to tell your family and friends with them about them. Share them with them. It's all there for you. It's all free. It's at basicgospel.net/YouTube. Now back to Bob Christopher and this insightful study called The Great I Am.
Well, thanks, Bob. So today it's the resurrection and the life. Jesus makes the claim, I am the resurrection and the life. And as we were saying before the break, this really gets to the heart and soul of Christianity. Christianity is not a self-improvement program. You don't do 10 steps or eat this particular diet or do these meditations or those sort of things. It is about dying in Christ and being raised to walk in the newness of life. That's what Christianity is all about. And Jesus is demonstrating that through this particular story. So Lazarus, a person whom Jesus loved, is sick. His sisters, Martha and Mary, send word to Jesus. He says, this is for the glory of God the Father, so that the Son may be glorified through this as well. So he was going to reveal some divine attributes and characteristics of himself that they did not know about up until this point. Now, Jesus decides to stay away. He has some conversation with his disciples. He says that he's just fallen asleep. So the disciples take that literally. Well, good, he's going to wake up. And he says, no, he's dead. and we're going to go and fix that.
Yeah.
And so he still waits. And by the time he gets to Bethany, Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. And that's where we pick up the story in verse 17 of chapter 11. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Mm-hmm. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So there was a lot of friends that Mary and Martha and Lazarus had, all probably connected to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And they were sad for Mary and Martha, and they wanted to come and be of comfort to them during this time of grieving. Now, as Jesus was getting closer, Martha heard about this, and she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." So they had great hope. This scene when Lazarus was sick, he was still breathing, and Jesus had been sent the message. Mm-hmm. There was great hope because they expected Jesus to come and be there as quickly as he could to do for Lazarus what he had done for so many.
Yeah.
So they had great hope, but then Jesus didn't show up, and Lazarus died. And so hope left. That balloon that was filled with that air of hope just left. It just was not there. And
right.
So this was a scene of grieving. But Martha knew something. She said, "But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." So Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Now Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." But Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Now, Martha had no earthly idea what Jesus was talking about here. She knew that at a point in time, there was going to be a future resurrection. All that were in the graves would be raised up, and there would be a time of judgment. So she knew about that, but she had no earthly idea what Jesus was talking about here and now in this particular claim. So when he said, "Do you believe this?" all she could say is, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. I recognize you for who you are." Well, let's take this particular portion of the passage and make some observations. So Lazarus has died. He's been in the tomb for 4 days. That's significant because they say if your body is in the tomb beyond three, it starts to decay and decompose. Now, many people had come from Jerusalem to console Mary and Martha, and Martha went out and expressed her disappointment to the Lord. "If only you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. You could have prevented this with just a word, just a touch. If only you had been here." Now, Mary said the exact same thing to Jesus when she had her moment with Jesus. She said exactly the same thing that Martha did. "If only you had been here, Lazarus would not have died." And even the people that had gathered to console Mary and Martha, they said the same thing. They said, "Didn't he just heal a blind man? Why couldn't he have come and have done something like that for Lazarus?" So their hope for a miracle lasted until Lazarus took his last breath. They didn't think Jesus could do anything for Lazarus at that particular point in time. But Jesus made the claim, "I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe, you're going to live, even though you die." That's the good news.
Yes.
That's the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you believe this? That's what Jesus is asking. All of us, do we believe this? Or are we simply thinking in terms of self-improvement, just making a better version of ourselves? Well, that's not the story of the gospel. The story of the gospel is about death, it's about burial, it's about resurrection. Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus was raised back to life. Guess what happens to us when we come to faith in Jesus Christ? We die in Christ, we're buried with him through baptism, spiritual baptism, and then we're raised to walk in the newness of life. Mm-hmm. So the story of death, burial, and resurrection becomes our story. That's how we participate in God's story of grace. That's how we find our place in what God is doing in and through Christ Jesus. We die with Christ. We're buried with him. We're raised to walk in the newness of life. And that's the information that God is revealing about Jesus in this claim that he makes, that he is the resurrection and the life.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, it's Basic Gospel, and you're listening to The Resurrection and the Life, Lesson 7 of our study series called The Great I Am. Bob Christopher will be back in just a moment, but let me remind you that if you miss any of the sessions along the way, or if you'd like a review of what you've already heard, well, you can find the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. You'll not only find past lessons there, but also the study notes to go along with each session. It's all free, and we hope you'll review the lessons and share them with your family and friends. Again, just visit basicgospel.net/teaching. Here at Basic Gospel, we have no greater objective than to help our listener friends hear, believe, and live this good news of Jesus Christ. But right now, back to The Resurrection and the Life, Lesson 7 in our series, The Great I Am, and here again is Bob.
Well, thanks, Bob. So one of the things that we see in this story, I think the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Yeah. There was great love and affection that Jesus had for this family, and particularly for Lazarus. And this whole scene, this grieving, touched him deeply. And he wept, and he was moved with compassion. And that love is on full display in this particular story, his love for mankind, his love for you and me. And so we're going to pick up on the story in verse 38 of John chapter 11. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Those were the type of tombs that people's bodies were laid in after they died. You can see those in various places in Israel today.
Sure.
There's one particular road that you travel. I think it's between Nazareth and the Sea of Galilee. And as you're going around a curve, you can look just to the left, and there is this open tomb, and it has a stone. And that stone would have been rolled in front of that entryway, and that would have been where a body would have been laid. So they have uncovered a bunch of those. We see in Jerusalem, outside the gates, the Gordon's Calvary. We see an empty tomb there, and some say that's where Jesus was laid. We don't know for sure, but he's describing exactly the type of tomb that he would have been laid in. Mm-hmm. Just a cave, an open cave that had been hewn out with all kinds of tools, and a body could be laid in there, and then they would roll a stone in front of that entryway.
Yeah.
So Jesus, moved with compassion, he said, "Take away the stone." Now Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Now Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Again, this whole story is all about revealing the glory of God, revealing the divine attributes that God had that we were unaware of, that the people of that day were unaware of. Well, what is the divine attribute? That God has power over death. That's what resurrection is all about. So that was the glory that was going to be revealed. So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." So Jesus has this prayer, and it's a public prayer. He's not praying in a closet. He is praying in the open, and
right.
He's speaking these words so that people can hear them. And he makes this statement, I'm praying these things. I know you hear me. I know you're going to work in this situation. And then when I call Lazarus out of the grave, he's going to come forth. I know that's going to happen, but I am praying on behalf of all of those that are here so that they can believe that you actually sent me. that I'm not just a normal human being, that I have been sent, that I have come down from above, hearing the cries of the people, and I'm going to do something on their behalf. So when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." Yeah. So Lazarus died. He was sick. The people had hope that Jesus could heal him. He died. Their hope vanished. Jesus came on the scene and he said, "I'm going to reveal something to you that you haven't known about me until now. And what I'm going to reveal to you is that I have power over death. And if I speak his name, he's going to come out." Mm-hmm. Now, here's what happened with Lazarus. He was restored to his old life. Lazarus eventually died and he went back into a tomb, just like all of us will, unless the Lord comes back first. So that's not the type of resurrection that he's talking about. This is just an event that underscores the real story of the gospel. When you and I are raised to walk in the newness of life, we're given a brand new life altogether. Yeah. It's qualitatively different than the life that we had before. Our life before was a life lived in the dark, in the darkness. It was a life that was controlled by sin. It was a life where we were spiritually dead. We had no connection. Yeah. But now that old person has died in Christ, has been buried in Christ, and we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. So our life that we have in Christ is qualitatively different. Why? Because it's his life. Yeah. He has given us his life. That's the good news. We have his life living in us. Mm-hmm. That life will never die. And our bodies are going to die one day, but we're not going to die. And one day he's going to appear and we're going to be with him. Yeah. And we're going to get our resurrected bodies. Mm-hmm. Talk about good news. That's good news.
Yes.
So this miracle, you can just imagine the joy that people felt when they saw Lazarus come out of that tomb. Oh, my goodness. The joy was just
overwhelming.
I know. Inexpressible.
Yeah.
Totally inexpressible. How much more the joy of knowing that we're going to live forever through faith in Jesus Christ because he is the resurrection and the life.
Yes.
He was raised. He has the life to give us. And when we come to him by faith, we're raised to walk in the newness of life. So just quickly, let's go through this. Again, Jesus is moved with compassion. He wept because of the grieving. They had already identified that Jesus loved Lazarus. Well, not only did he love Lazarus, he loves you and me.
Yes.
And just as he called Lazarus by name, he calls us by name. And when we respond to this gospel, we're raised to walk in the newness of life. That's the glory of God, that he has power over death. You know, science is trying to figure that out. They're trying to do everything that they know how to do to solve the problem of death.
Yes.
They'll never solve it. Only God has the power over death, and we become victorious. We overcome death through faith in Jesus Christ. So this is your story. This is what it means to participate in the good news of Jesus Christ. This is what happened to you when you believed. You were dead, and now you are alive in Christ, raised to walk in the newness of life. Not an improved you, a new you.
Yes.
Why? Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life.
The resurrection and the life. Bob, thanks. And friends, thank you for joining us for Lesson 7 of The Great I Am here on Basic Gospel. If you'd like to have the study notes from these Friday sessions, again, please visit the program archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. On that page, you can catch up on all of the sessions you may have missed along the way, and also the study notes are there. We encourage you to share them with your family and friends. Again, that's the teaching archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. And if what you hear on this program is helping you grow in the grace of God, well, please help us continue with the good news of Jesus Christ by making your donation this month at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.